I hope you have not had enough of me today. God is good. And all the time, He loves us more than we can imagine or we can think of. He's always mindful of us. So today I've been asked to talk about the fall of man. And when you think of the fall of man, you think of the love of Christ to us. You think of how He's mindful of us, because He could have let us to be what we want to be. Because according to the Bible, it seems Adam and Eve, that's what they wanted to be, to have their own rules, to decide what to do, not to follow the word of God anymore, not follow instruction. But God, because He loves us, He came down to us to pick us up one by one according to our failures and faults. The Bible tells us in Romans 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We are all sinners. Is there anyone here who is not a sinner? No one. If you are not a sinner, you are in the wrong place. Because it means you are counting yourself righteous. And self-righteousness is really bad before God. Because as we live in this world, you cannot be free from sin. No matter how long you have been living for the Lord, you cannot rise above the occasion of falling. We do fall from time to time. The question is, how do we get up? Do we remain there, or do we get up and proceed with our journey? In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, Solomon reminded us that indeed there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. If you think careful of these words, that's what who we are. We as children of God, that's who we are. No one of us can say that I'm righteous, I never sin. In John, 1 John and chapter 1, verse 8 to 10, he said that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So it is correct to say Christians, at some point, we fail. In Genesis, which is the part which I have been given, Genesis chapter 3, it says that, I read from King James, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made." If we end up on that verse, what does it tell you? What do we learn from that? He said, was more subtle than any beast. This reminds us that no matter how do you think you are standing, when temptation comes, we will be tempted. Because this beast was wiser. That's the Bible says, it's not me who said that. Imagine someone who is wiser than you, and you confess that this is wiser. This person is wiser. When they tell you something, you believe that is true, is it? Because you believe they are wiser. And they say this creature was wiser. And he did, I don't know if it was he or she. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. Because when God first created a man, Adam and Eve, He gave them everything. Ella did tell us last week. God created everything first for us to be comfortable, for us to have everything we need. So God created everything and then decided to create a man. He said, let's create a man. And were they content? Although we were told there was everything were they satisfied? Probably they were before the wiser serpent came to them. Probably they were. Even you may say that I'm content with what I have before temptation comes. Before you are tempted to say, no, I don't like the house which I'm living in. No, I don't like this car. No, I wish I could have a more beautiful wife. I wish I could have more handsome husband. I wish I could have more of this. You have it all. You have beautiful children. You have the blessing God has put around you. But to you, the temptation comes into your mind. I wish I could have like so and so. I wish I could be like that. I think this is exactly what came to Eve, although it's not in the Bible. Because when the serpent spoke to her, the Bible tells us they have everything. But what made her to be tempted? You have everything around you. What does make you to be tempted? Why do you fall? Because God has everything. And the Bible tells us if you have Jesus, you have everything. So if you are sick, what does tempt you to think he will not heal you? If you are broke, what does tempt you to think I can think of other means instead of calling on his name to ask for his help, whether it's for healing, whether it's for provision, whether whatever the situation, he said, I am that I am. That's what he told Moses. I am that I am, meaning he can do whatever. Even the word said in the New Testament that he can do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask or think of. Because sometimes we ask, but our mind is thinking of more. And the voice is telling us, don't ask about that because it's too much. But God, our God, can do exceedingly more than we can ask or think of. So whatever you are thinking of today, think big. That is the kind of God we serve. Think big. He's able and more able to do more than we can think. So when Satan came to Eve, he did not come as an atheist. So when you're tempted, don't think the temptation comes to you as an unbeliever. Because the Bible tells us he did know the word. Because in James chapter 2 and verse 19 says that you believe there is one God, you do well. The devil also believe and tremble. You only believe, but then they believe with trembling. Which means they have more faith that God exists more even than us. That's why they know how to come into our mind, how to tempt us. Always they come as angel of light. When they are tempting us, the things which they tell us, the things they put in our mind, doesn't seem bad. They seem really good. And they seem like, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong. But does the word say that? What you do and what you align to and what is it aligning with the word of God? Where is our eyes when temptation comes? Where is our thought when we are tempted? The devil said to Eve, did God say, don't do this? Do you think he did not know what he was saying? He has done all his homework. Because even when Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, when the Satan went there, he said that you are a son of God. It's true. And he knows Jesus can turn stone into bread. That is true. And he knew that Jesus was hungry because he has been fasting for 40 days. Imagine you have not been eating for 40 days. Someone is coming with food. And he said, if you're really son of man, son of God, turn this stone, I'm paraphrasing, turn this stone into bread. Jesus could have done it. But he did not yield to the voice of Satan. The devil come to us to tell us things which he know we can do. The question, are we yielding to his voice? Or are we listening to the small voice which tells us what is the right thing to do? He said, I'm really struggling with my shopping this week. You hear people, they tell you the stories how they cheat in the supermarket. Some of them, they said, I never did that, but I'm telling you what they do say. If you go and buy something, for example, clothes, you take this label, which is, has got a low price, that the one you scan on there. But that is stealing. That is stealing. You won't be caught, but God knows what you are doing. Or something tells you, you can take this, no one can see you. You can take that. And it's true, probably the position you are, no one can see you. But is it right? You know, the Bible tells us, which Ella did mention last week, when God created everything, and then he created, he said it's good. Then when he created a man, he said, it is very good. Why did he add the word very? All other things was good, but we are very good in his eyes. In my understanding that I am unique, I am precious in his eyes. So why should I listen to the voice which is telling me, you are not who you are? Oh, if you can do this, you may look more beautiful. Oh, I don't think maybe I'm supposed to be a lady. I'm supposed to be a man. That's the voices which comes to people's mind. Because people, when they are changing their gender, they have that strong conviction that they are in a wrong gender. But does God make a mistake? Nowadays, we are told that if you want to be a man, it's a matter of decision. If you want to be a lady, it's a matter of decision. If you want to, nowadays, I heard that there is incubators that have been made. You don't need to carry a pregnancy 9 months anymore. You go to the incubators, they can make you a baby. But is that what God wants? Don't get me wrong. Everyone who does it, they have their own reason. But is that aligning with the word of God? When we yield to the voice of the Satan, we are okay. But when things go wrong, we start blaming God. That's what exactly Adam and Eve, what they did. My question when I was reading this, I was thinking, Adam did succumb to Eve's invitation to share her disobedience to God. But the Bible does not tell us when the serpent was speaking to Eve, where was Adam? It's Father's Day today. Where was Adam? Was he there listening? In my mind, I think he was there, but he did not speak. And the reason I say fathers, we women sometimes, we can decide things which are not correct. We can persuade you to do things, but you are the man of your house. You are the head. Someone said that we are the neck, so we decide where the head can look too. But be strong. Because Adam here, the Bible did not say that he questioned anything. Because there's a man who God created first. He could have said, no, we cannot do this. But he yielded. The Bible doesn't say that he did ask any question. He just do it. Why? Huh? And then start to blame God. I ask you to do something. You know exactly it's not right, although it pleases you. It seems right when I'm asking you to do it. Because the devil comes in the face of somebody you trust. I'm telling you that if you do this, it's absolutely going to be right. Yes, it's right at the time. But is it what God said? And this game of blaming has become a culture now. Everything is done, whether the Christian or non-Christian, someone has to blame. Whether in politics, whether in government, there is a blame game. And this started since the fall of man. You cannot do anything now in the eyes of people without finding a fault of what you did so they can blame somebody. It's quite wrong, really, although that's the world we live. God's plan from the beginning is for us to live forever. And when the serpent tempted Eve, did not explain the side of life. He only explained the one side of what will be if they eat the fruit. And always the devil won't tell you this other side of the consequence of what you're about to do. Will only tell you one side of the story. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whosoever lives by believing in me will never die. And he was asking Martha, do you believe this? Sin always will make us uneasy. It will make us ashamed. It will make us guilty. And will make us afraid. The Bible tells us that when God came to the Garden of Eden, they hid from him. We can hide everything, but can we hide from God? And they say that they covered themselves because they said, we are naked. The only thing which can cover us is the blood of Jesus. When they made the fig tree, they made the clothes and clothed themselves because they think they were. And then God is asking, where are you? He said, I hide. Why? Because I am naked. You find the clothes which you believe in the clothes. You wear them. And you said you are naked. I believe if you wear something, you are no longer naked. So why they continue to say that we are naked, we are hiding? The nakedness they are talking here is spiritual nakedness. Because when we do something wrong before God, even before men, no one knows what you did yesterday or the day before yesterday. But if there is something you did terrible, every time you see people say, do they know? What are they thinking of me? What are they saying? What's going to happen? But probably no one knows except you and God. That's exactly what they did here. They said, we are afraid. We are naked. Who told you are naked? After all, you have already found something for you to cover yourself. So why are you not thinking what you covered yourself with is enough, is sufficient? This tells us the only sufficient thing which can cover us is the blood of Jesus. And when God came to see them, he made some clothes from the skin of an animal. This indicates that that was the first sacrifice was made. He took the blood of blameless animal and made them clothes to cover them. But thank God we have the Lamb who is Jesus, who is blameless, who took away all our sins. And through his precious blood we are covered. And when we do anything wrong, we can ask forgiveness through his precious blood. And we are covered. And we are no longer naked because his blood is sufficient. When we sin, our eyes of guiltiness is open and changes everything. We are told here, I did not read because it's a long, but if you read it yourself, it's really quite interesting. We are told that God used to come and fellowship with them in the garden. But now, the voice they used to be rejoicing with, the voice they longing to hear, because they long to hear from him. If you are used to fellowship with God, you are longing for that moment, for his presence. You are longing to hear from him. You are longing to draw close to him so you can have fellowship. But now, they were afraid of the same voice. God has not changed. The voice has not changed. But they were afraid. They were afraid from the voice they love to hear. When we sin, we cannot pray. When you are in sin, you cannot fellowship with God. Even if you think you can, you are kidding yourself. You don't feel the same. You don't feel his presence as you were before you have done something wrong. You cannot go before God while you know you have a guiltiness in you. You are scared. He's not there. You are scared. It's the only thing we can do when we know we are wrong before we draw close to God is to repent, is to ask for forgiveness. They say, what people will say, what they will think of me. Oh, they will say, even if you have not done anything wrong. We human beings, we are there to say something. We are there to gossip. We are there to pull people down. We are there to discourage you. But if you trust in God, if you fix your eyes upon him who died on the cross for you, for me, he's always there to pick us up. He's always there to wipe away our tears. He's always there to guide us on the right path. In the Bible, they said in verse 9, when God went to the garden, he asked them, where are you? The first question, the first time this question is used in the Bible is on verse 9 on Genesis. And the second time, it's used in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. The first one, God asked, where are you? This was God seeking for the sinner. Because they have already fallen. They have already sinned. God is asking, where are you? So this morning, if you have done anything wrong, even if you have not done anything wrong, God is asking, where are you? Where are you this morning? And on the second time when this question was asked in Matthew 2, verse 2, it said, where is the one who has been born King of Jews? We saw his stars when it rose and have come to worship him. These are the shepherds who are saying that. This is the sinner seeking the Savior. So we need to seek the Savior with all our hearts. Because God is seeking for us. God is asking, where are you? We need to say, where is he? Where is the King of Kings? Where? We want to worship him. We want to draw close to him. We want to give all our sacrifices to him. We want to show him that he is the one who was and is to come. We need to train our hearts, always be seeking the King who was born to redeem us. Are we hungry for his presence this morning? Are we longing for him? The shepherds left everything to seek him. Are we ready to leave everything behind us to grow closer to him? The answer is between you and him. God is merciful. He is faithful. He is awesome in power and in everything he does. And he's calling on us. He has covered us with his righteousness. Because we cannot cover ourselves. No matter how closed we are, if we are not right with God, we are naked. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 say that our righteousness is like a filth rags. If we count ourselves righteousness, there is nothing in it unless he covered us with his righteousness. Through his blood, we can boldly approach his throne, and he will welcome us with open arms because we have this blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. I have this blessed assurance that Jesus is man, is mine. I am born of spirit. I am no longer who I used to be because of Jesus. Because he lives in me. He walks with me. He guides me. He leads me. It's for me to yield to him, to receive what he has for me, for he has everything for me, and to ask that I can continue to be content with what he has already given me. Because in him there is everything. Satan can close our eyes, although we think we can see, but we cannot see. When we have a little problem, we are looking for where to get a solution. But he is the solution. And he is with us all the time. He has promised never to leave us or forsake us. So why we worry now? Why we doubt him now? Where is our faith? When we first come to him, we were so excited. Our faith was ignited, but now we doubt. If he did provide food on your table yesterday, what makes you to think today he's not going to put food on your table? If he did protect you from the... Someone did say that if it happened, we die. When we see what God protected us from, which we don't know now, we don't know what we will say to him. Sometimes we claim for things which are not good and we blame God, say, oh God, why I'm not having this, why I'm not having that? He knows why he's protecting you. And then we need to learn to thank God for everything, not to blame God. Because Adam and Eve, they blame God, they blame God for their foolishness. I might say their foolishness, but it's the same thing for us. Because Adam said that this is the woman which you gave me. In another word, is the blessing which you put around me. You say, God, these children are too difficult. I cannot handle them. You're blaming God for the blessing which I've given you. God, this husband, I cannot. You are blaming God for the blessing. God, this wife, ask him. He's the one who gave you. He can correct it. God, I'm tired of going to work every day. If you don't have employment, what do you do? God, why am I not employed? God, I don't want to go to school. I can see youth laughing. I don't want to go to school. Good things, they don't come easy. You have to go to school. There are people, they want to go to school, but they can't. Especially for those who are coming from third world countries, you know the situation. People, they are really longing to go to school. But here you are in Britain, you have school, good school. You are complaining because it's raining every day. There are people, they go to school, whether it's raining, whether it's shining, they don't even have shoes on their feet. But they want to go to school. Let's learn to appreciate God in everything he does in our lives. And if we have ever opened our mouth to blame God for the blessings he has given us, let's repent. Let's ask for his forgiveness. If you feel ashamed or guilty of anything, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Are you naked? Come to him for a dress. Are you fearful? Come to him. He will strengthen you. Because the Bible says that in our weakness is when his strength comes in. Amen? Amen? Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for what you've done in our life, Father. We thank you, Lord, because sometimes we do complain for no reason. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us and teach us to embrace the blessing which you have given us, to embrace your presence in our life. For you are more than everything in our life. You are a sufficient one. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.